Jesus, our teacher, help us to understand what you gave in giving up your life for us. Help us believe and follow you. Amen. Well, as you know, today is Good Friday, the day that Jesus died. But 3 years before his death, he began proclaiming a message. That message was repent. That is, turn your life around. But why? For what reason? Jesus said, turn around and follow me. Follow me, for I am God's chosen one, God's King, his Messiah. Now, we've just heard a very short account of the lead-up to Jesus' death. Although it's short, there are six players in it. And I'm going to go through these six people or groups. First, the religious leaders. Now, the Jews had priests and teachers who taught them that Messiah was coming. The Jewish Passover was just 2 days away, and at the Passover, the Jews celebrated their rescue from slavery, their slavery in Egypt. But now the Jews were under the harsh rule of Rome. Again, they longed to be rescued. When Messiah came, they were taught that he would rescue them from their enemies. Perhaps the Messiah would come this year, they thought. Every Jew longed for this day. And he came. He came teaching about God as no one had ever done before. He came healing and doing things never done before. He was a good and wise man, a man of great courage. Surely the religious leaders would know their Messiah. Surely they would give up anything to come and sit at his feet. But no, their response was astounding. It was now 2 days before the Passover festival. The leading priests and the teachers were looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and to kill him. There are many ironies in this story. An irony is when things are the opposite of what you expect. So the very ones who should have welcomed their Messiah tried to kill him, to kill the one who would give them life. And they succeeded. Just 2 days later, Jesus died, hanging on a cross. Now, this was no surprise to Jesus. Indeed, the very reason he came was to die. His whole purpose in life was to die. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him. And he warned his followers again and again in very blunt language. For instance, he said, the Son of Man, that's the name he gave for himself, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But the followers did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to ask him. His followers just did not get it. But one of them did. Enter our second player, a woman. And her response was amazing. Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. As he was eating, a woman came with an alabaster flask of costly perfume made from pure nard. She broke open the flask and poured the perfume over his head. You see, the woman understood. And she did an incredible thing. Actually, it was daft when you think about it. The perfume costs a year's wages. You don't squander an asset like that in a society that has no pensions, no insurance, no superannuation. It was also completely pointless. For who anoints a body for burial when it's still alive? And in just 2 days, Jesus would be a bloodied and battered corpse. His body would have to be washed and anointed all over again, according to their burial customs. And did she need to pour it all out? Nothing left? The whole jar? But she knew. She knew that her teacher was about to die. And so she gave the best thing that she could give. It wouldn't prevent his death. It wouldn't even ease the physical pain. But she gave all she could. Her devotion to Jesus was absolute. She gave even in the face of harsh criticism. So enter the third group, Jesus' followers. Some of those at table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume? It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. Despite the criticism she gave, she persisted, for her eyes were only on Jesus. Jesus scolded his followers. She had it right. Her focus was on her teacher. They had it wrong, so utterly wrong. And here is another irony. They were about to lose their Messiah. Yet they were squabbling about wasting money. Sure, the perfume cost a year's wages. In time, one might save enough to replace this. But you can never replace a life. Yet their focus was on wasting money. Money that was not even theirs to give, did you notice? So Jesus rebuked them. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." Jesus is, of course, our fourth player. And Jesus, with calm dignity, awaited his coming death, a most agonizing death on a cross. And he commended the woman in preparing him for this. He said, "She has done what she could. She anointed my body for burial ahead of time." Now, Jesus rose from death. Come back on Sunday to hear all about that. But first he had to die. And her actions remind us that Jesus really did die. He was buried. He lay dead in a tomb for 3 days. And so her actions became part of the Easter story. As Jesus predicted, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Here is another irony. In Mark's account, she is not even given a name. Even the leper, Simon, the owner of the house, has a name. We don't ever hear about him again. And yet the actions of this unnamed woman will be spoken of throughout the whole world. Even today, here in Strathalbyn. Remember that the Jews hoped that their Messiah would again rescue them from their enemies? The irony is that he died for his enemies, including those plotting priests. He rescued them and us by dying for us. He rescued them not from their Roman rulers, but from a far greater enemy, death itself. His death brought us life. Remember those religious rulers? It was now 2 days before the Passover festival. The leading priests and teachers were looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. Now, the Passover, it gave them both a chance and a problem. It was a chance to grab Jesus while he was close by. The Passover brought Jesus into their own region. But here was the problem. They couldn't arrest him during the Passover festival, or the people may riot. So what do they do? Well, enter Judas, our fifth player. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests to arrange to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money. So he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. So Judas was part of Jesus' inner circle, so he could tell these enemies exactly where to find Jesus. Indeed, in the dark, he led a band of soldiers straight to where Jesus was. Now, a Jewish teacher, a rabbi, he attracted followers called disciples. The relationship between disciple and rabbi was like father and son. Unswerving loyalty and service were expected from a disciple. In return, their rabbi would teach them all that he knew, like a master and an apprentice. The teacher was greatly revered and honoured. A disciple would never dream of doing anything that might dishonour his teacher, his rabbi. And for 3 years, Judas walked the roads of Israel with his teacher. For 3 years, he heard Jesus teach and saw him heal. He saw his countless acts of compassion and kindness. And yet, instead of devotion and loyalty, Judas betrayed his teacher. Judas stands in complete contrast to the woman. But notice there are three common threads here. First, money. And here's another irony. She gave her most precious gift for her teacher. Judas sold his teacher for a paltry sum. Death. She prepared Jesus' body for burial. Judas handed Jesus over to his killers. And loyalty. Her devotion was absolute. Judas's betrayal was absolute. Indeed, it is the byword today for treachery. Jesus always provokes a reaction, as it was then, so it is today. Indeed, many of today's religious leaders reject the brutal truth that Jesus had to die for their sins. Some, like Jesus' own followers, completely miss the point about his life and death. Some simply see him as a good man, nothing more. But some, like the woman, give up everything to follow him. Well, I said there are six players in this story. But who is the sixth? It is you and me, friends. Jesus included you and me in this story. Did you notice? When he said, whenever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world. Well, who will proclaim the gospel? Who will do it today? It is you and me. That is why Jesus chose you and me to follow him, so that we could tell his story. The woman gave her all for Jesus. What can you and I do? Well, many good things we could do. We can give to the poor. Jesus commended this. He said, for you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But if that is all we do, the whole point of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is missed. We miss it. We totally misunderstand his mission if we think it is just about helping the poor. Because Jesus did not come to set up a soup kitchen or to end world poverty. His plan was far more radical than that. In his death, he conquered death and evil. In his death, he gave life to all who would turn and follow him. So do you want to end world poverty? Then start telling the Easter story. Because following Jesus is the most radical change that anyone can make. Your whole purpose in life changes. It changes from putting self first to putting Jesus and others first. And as a result, lives are changed. Whole communities are impacted. And so many are rescued and saved and healed, both in this life and in eternity. So there is nothing more important than you can do than to tell the Easter story. Tell it to your neighbours. Tell it to the nations. Go yourself or send others. Send them with your prayer, your care, your money. Hold nothing back. Because there are billions who do not know that Jesus died for them. There is nothing more important than to offer the gift of eternal life to those who do not know Jesus. Jesus gave his life for us. Will you give your life for him? Your money, your prayers, even your life, to make him known. Let's pray. Jesus, our Messiah, thank you that you rescued us at the price of your own life. Help us to give our own lives to serve you and make you known. Amen.